step-by-step approach to improving yourself and your organisation, here's Alan Rodway.
Always great to have Alan in on a Thursday. Normally I'm out in the car driving around. Always enjoy listening to this segment because I learn something. And it's great to have Alan in. We didn't have you last week on the phone.
No,
in the flesh.
I was in Bryce last week and back,
nice
in,
part of the world.
Back in Melbourne today.
Yeah, gee, ordinary weekend ahead. I'm going up to Cairns and Brisbane. Quite happy to get out
of
Melbourne for the next 3 days. Hail, 11 degrees. Not good for the local footballers on Saturday and Sunday. Al, our topic for today?
Review your business or perish, BP. This is a very strongly business-biased segment. So if you're a business owner or a manager or a leader in a business, or you want to be one of those hats, this is for you. It's about what I'm suggesting is that every single year formally that a business should review itself. And we put an article on the website on Your Coach Online this morning called Review Your Business or Perish, and I talk about 20 areas of a business that should be reviewed.
Yep.
And how we should be going about doing that.
Yeah, we're going to work through those. In your experience and your travels, I mean, obviously you'd probably come across some businesses who don't go through this enough and just let things sort of drag along.
Most. Yeah. And when we talk about business on SEM, we're talking almost exclusively to the privately owned businesses and probably the smaller medium sized businesses. So it can be the single person business where that person's a chief cook and bottle washer. It might be, 50 person business. And I always say that. So most businesses don't do it. I mean, they certainly don't do it at the level that I'm talking about here.
Yep.
And they don't do it for two reasons. One, they won't actually spend the time and money because it's one and the same to do it. But secondly, they don't know how to do it. And that's why I wrote the article to say, well, look, if you're genuine about improving your business moving forward, you need to conduct an annual review of your business. I mean, like, what sporting group doesn't do that? Yeah, I mean, they're doing it a lot more often than that. So how do you do it?
Yep.
And are you prepared to commit the resources to it? Now, the first problem will be if you're prepared to do it and you're prepared to spend the time on it, where are you going to get the expertise to do it if you're a very small business? But there are ways of doing that. You don't have to go out and pay consultants lots of money to do it. You don't. You can, there's a lot of people around who know enough about business. They mightn't know everything, but they can review parts of your business to make it better than what it is. But the point really is if you don't do it, the risks are just horrendous.
Yep.
Of just doing this year what you did last year. So review it every year is what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's the understanding, isn't it, too? I mean, I'm a sports administrator when I'm not in here, and, there's so many areas you have to be across now. The governance side and, doing GST and all these things that, people can be recruited into your organisation. I'm probably slightly going away from the medium business.
No, not at all.
But I'm thinking of, community clubs who I just see who don't really have a plan. They don't have a strategic plan. They don't have a method. It's just sort of, everything's been done on the run.
Yeah.
It could either go fantastic or in many cases where it does go pear-shaped and there's not the people with the expertise in the roles to actually fulfill them.
Yep. And another thing happens in privately owned businesses that I often see a lot of people within chafing at the bit to be part of improvement. And sometimes we accidentally stop them. We don't give them enough opportunity to have their say about the business and even its strategic move forwards. But if you let them, if you invite them into a forum to say, look, we're going to review it, and you can be part of the way we go about reviewing that, you're actually engaging the sort of the brain power within your own business. And we're not good enough at doing that.
If you've got a question for Alan Rodway, 94291116, happy to have you involved for the next 20 minutes or so. Let's work through some of the 20 areas that we can review.
Yeah, we won't go through the 20. Obviously, and we've covered some of these in other segments, but there is an order in this, and the first bit that must be reviewed is if there's more than one stakeholder, and a stakeholder is not necessarily just a shareholder. It can be a highly interested party. It might be someone who wants to be a shareholder at some stage down the line. So if there's more than one of these stakeholders, then the questions that have to be addressed are their objectives clear? Are they aligned? And do people within the business actually know of them? And they're big questions. So it's got to start there because if you don't get that bit right, the rest of it is really not going to happen at all. So you start with that. And secondly, even though we're talking about businesses that are in existence, they still should be reviewing their legal, tax and trading structures. Now, if you've already gone into this, and again, you can be a single person business and you've just set up as, say, a proprietary limited company or you've set up as a sole trader, whatever, you don't necessarily have to stay like that. Now, there are some implications that can make it a bit harder for you to change that, mm-hmm. and you'd have to take expert advice on it. But the question should be asked fairly regularly, are the legal structures still right for your business? Are the tax structures still right for your business? And is the trading structure still right? And have you had expertise behind that decision as to what they all look like? So that's really important, because at the very least, if that's not right, you may end up with taxation implications that you don't want down the line, and you don't know that they're even going to happen.
Yep.
And accidentally, that's not where you want to be.
Exactly right. And so many organisations, Ellen, will write a sort of a mission statement. Here's their vision. Here's what we stand for. But some of them actually, it can just be on paper and don't actually carry them out.
Anyone who's heard this segment for more than 2 weeks, BP, will say, yep.
that's me.
We know, mission, vision, values is a piece of paper. And yeah, the real question is what you just said. Are they meaningful? Are they real? And are they lived? Are they communicated? Do people buy into them? It's the sort of stuff that John Worsfold's now talking about with Adelaide. And it's not a coincidence that John Worsfold's relationship with Phil Walsh, I mean, I have the utmost admiration for John Worsfold. I haven't been able to work with him for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
It's not a coincidence that the wording that you're hearing coming out of Adelaide is vision and values, vision and values. Because that's what Worsfold lives, vision and values. He lives them, though, and businesses too often don't. But your listeners have heard that from me a lot, a lot in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, it resonates with me, because I think sometimes you can write things down. It can be in our sort of everyday life.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
We write things down. That's what we want to achieve, but we actually don't actually fulfill it, put the steps in place to actually get it done. And wasn't it Phil Walsh was saying, just sometimes you just got to get it done?
Absolutely. Look, I did a favour for a local football, I won't mention them, but for a local football club in Melbourne last night. I spent a couple of hours with more than 30 people who came out on a Wednesday night through an invitation from their committee about leadership and what they want to be and what they want to stand for. And we spent nearly two and a half hours in a room. No one was paid for it. No one.
Yep.
To actually create something that we all believed in. And, you know, here's a sporting club. And we had, it was an amazing experience for me. They had people from under-18s teams.
Mm.
They had committee. Mm. They had major sponsors. They had the leadership group. They had the coaching group. All came out on a cold Wednesday night when all of that massive sport was going on last night.
It's a good effort.
Yeah, isn't that good? But to make real what they stood for, and you should be doing that in business all the time. What is it that you actually want to stand for?
Absolutely. So, talk us through just direction, strategies, and how you sort of measure all that.
Yep. Every business at least yearly has got to look at what are the directions you want to take. If you take just off the top of my head, you look at McDonald's, and it's no secret that McDonald's has not travelled as well in the last few years as it was in its very early dominance across the world because they got caught. They got caught by competitors. So every year is what are the directions that you want to take? And McDonald's made a directional change into McCafe. Now, they've made a massive directional change into create your own burgers. Now, you go back 10 years ago, that was like... that's hate, sick, vomit. We're not doing that.
No.
Yeah, we know. We'll tell the market what they. Now they're going. Well, hang on. This is. They're actually saying this is un-McDonald's. So, what are the directions that you want to take, and to implement those, to take those directions, what are the key strategies that you want to put in place, and thirdly, what are the key measurables that you're going to put in place to track that the strategies are actually taking you in the directions that you want to go, and they should be revisited every year.
Absolutely. Well, we'll have more of Ellen Rodway after the break at Review Your Business or Perish. Ellen with us every Thursday here on Halftime. You can get involved too, 9429 1160. With Ellen Rodway in the studio every Thursday, normally with Half, of course, he's probably having a little bit of a kip, Ellen, at the moment.
I'm sure
those
he
early
is.
Mornings. They just be catching up with him as the end of the second week gets on. Review Your Business or Perish is our topic today, 9429 1116. As always, if you'd like to be involved, we're working through some of the areas that should be covered when you are reviewing your business. Let's get on to planning, decision-making. I touched on governance a little bit earlier, all pretty important.
They are. Look at some of the sporting groups and some of the sporting organisations have gone horribly wrong when they don't get across this. And I'm not alluding to anything of that, even though I do follow Essendon. But if you look at this, just listen to this list and go, what planning sessions does your business have if you're listening? Is there a business plan in place? Is it real? Is it adapted? Is it tracked? Hmm. Are there accountabilities around it? What's the succession planning you have in place for your key customers, for your key suppliers, and for your key employees? What succession plans in place for that? What succession plan have you got in place for your equity? I'll tell you this, I reckon 80% of privately owned businesses that I've ever coached do not have succession plan for their owners. They move on, they think they'll be in the business forever and a day, and one of the worst things they do is they might have a thought around when they will get out of the business, when they'll sell it, and they align it to like when they're 60 or when they're 65, which pays no tribute to whatsoever to things like the GFC, other impacts on the stock market, what's happened in that industry. And yep. So many of them get really burnt because they say, I'm 60 now and I've made enough money, I've had enough time in this, I want to sell my equity in this, sell the whole business, whatever, and I'm going to go enjoy myself. And you look sideways and you go, boy, the industry's dropped a bit and what I thought I was going to make, I'm not going to make. Or worse, and this is happening a lot now with privately owned businesses, we actually can't sell it at all. We actually can't sell it at all. And you go, well, where's the succession planning in that? Why would your succession plan the sale of equity tied to your age because it suits your own personal circumstances rather than the business appeal to a marketplace?
Yep.
So the whole arena of – and another huge issue in privately owned business is they lack what we call shareholders agreements. And if you've got two owners in a business, and I don't care if it turns over tuppence halfpenny, to use an old phrase, if you don't have – an astutely written legal document between those two shareholders, you're highly likely to run into trouble. It must be an appropriate shareholders agreement.
Succession planning in general is a really interesting one because I think so many sort of live and breathe the business but don't have a real chance, Ellen, to step out of the business to look ahead, do they? They're so much about today rather than thinking about tomorrow, thinking about next year and where everything's going to sit.
Yep, which is completely understandable because it's real. It's, you know, we people in businesses like mine, where you're smaller businesses, we don't have the time to do that, or we don't think we have the time to do that, and we can then make that excuse not to do it. But if you move to some of the others, BP, like market positioning, it is another area that I would want a business to review and to ask the question, well, what market segments are you in? What market segment are you attempting to sell into? Because that I don't think there's too many businesses now where the answer remains the same. What market segments will give you profitability that you're after, that you can actually deliver into? And I actually think that's changing so fast now that should be a yearly question. And following that's what we call offer to the market. And it's just a fancy way of saying, what products do you offer to the market? How do you price them? How do you provide them? How do you deliver them? Do your people inside your business understand that?
Yep.
Do your people inside your business actually value what you're providing? Because you've got a big problem if your own people don't value what you... If people working at SEN don't value the product that listeners are getting, we're going to lack buy-in to their contribution to the whole game plan.
Absolutely.
So that's another part that we should be looking at.
Internal organisation and structure, talk us through that.
It's not talking about org charts. Some of the very successful businesses around the world now are actually reviewing their internal structure once a year. Now, what we do in the corporate world is we replace our CEOs about every 3 or 4 years. We sort of sack one, give them a great big payout. In comes the new one who knows he or she's got about 3 years, and they automatically go into restructure because that buys them about 12 months or 18 months of time. But you can't possibly sort of expect me to do something here because I'm restructuring. I'm not talking about that. That's reactive Band-Aid sort of stuff. I'm actually talking about, do the structures that exist within the business, are they delivering on what you're trying to deliver to the community?
Sales, obviously, a big part, sales capability and performance.
Look, I think it's one of the biggest issues today. And we had with you last week, mate, with Rob Lawson about digital marketing. I think this is a massive area. I think the biggest question for this is the way you're going about selling into the marketplace still effective? Because the old way is we have a bunch of salespeople who have a salesperson who rings up a few people, gets told yes or no, gives a couple of quotes here and there, and you might get some contracts and so on, and away you go. Now, I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm saying in some industries that still works a treat.
Yep.
But in many, it doesn't. In some of them have changed clearly to the social media as a massive prospecting arm of the business and the digital marketing conversation we had last year. So the question becomes, is the methodology behind your sales performance still likely to be appropriate for your business? That's a much bigger question.
People and performance is always an interesting one because it is the people who are there living and breathing it every single day. Are they performing and how you measure that? Take us through that.
That's about a 3-hour conversation, isn't it? It's still the hardest.
Yeah.
Because we're people. And it's I've said it 1,000 times, and I will get SMSs here if I go on about this very long. It's not about job descriptions and performance reviews and all that stuff. It's not about that anymore. It's about engagement. It's about what we're talking about with the sporting club before. It's about what are we? What do we represent? Do we believe in what we're delivering? Do we value that? Do I value my contribution to that? And am I equipped to do that? Now, there's a hell of a lot of other questions around that, but that's the crux of what this has got to be, and reviewing that yearly.
All right. And just one before we take our last break. Customer service and satisfaction. And how is that measured?
Isn't it good the way it's being done? When you get on a... I had an email, and I won't name this business, obviously. Yep. It's a big one. I had an email about a month ago saying, we're really disappointed that you didn't respond to our customer service survey after you bought from us. Now, that was about 2 months after I bought from them online. Two, I actually did respond to their survey, and I absolutely slated them because it was a terrible experience. And that organisation says, well, we're measuring customer satisfaction. No, you're not. You're actually putting a dent in it. Mm. With one of the major airlines, because I've always done a lot of travel in my career,
yep.
A couple of times I've sent emails saying, look, I didn't really think that the experience was very good and you might want to know about this, and I didn't really care whether you do anything about it. Not a word from them. And you go, well, if you're going to hold out that you measure customer satisfaction, you should do that.
Follow it up.
And take some notice of it. Yep, yeah. So absolutely. You should review how you're doing that.